Well, I'm just going to talk about a word tonight. A word. I won't tell you to turn anywhere because I've got a whole bunch of scriptures to read here. And I'll try to do it real quick. There's some words that are strong. And, language is that way. You can just mamby-pamby around and use soft words. That's what the Bible talks about. That's what they wanted the prophets to do. Use smooth words and sweet words. Prophesy to us good things and all that. Well, there's strong words that express good things too. But there's strong words that express bad things. There's a word in the Bible that's in there quite a bit. It's abomination. Do y'all know what it means? Well, it means something disgusting and abhorrence, especially idolatry. God thinks idolatry is an abomination to him. Dictionary says it's extreme hatred, abomination. It's detestation, hence defilement, pollution, in a physical sense, or evil doctrines and practices which are moral defilements. Idols and idolatry are called abominations. In short, whatever is an object of extreme hatred is called an abomination. Mentioned in the scripture 176 times. Abomination. So when God uses that word, there's no word stronger to show God's hatred for it. That ought to be something that really garners our attention quickly. If God says this is an abomination to me and you're doing it, there's no such thing as an excuse like you get for not being at school or at work or something like that. You don't have an exemption from being an abomination to God. Well, I'm saved. You do the things that God says are an abomination to him, you're abominable to him. Disgusting. There's things that people do, little habits and mannerisms and things that are disgusting, isn't it? We don't want to talk about that. But it don't matter if you're the prettiest thing that ever walked the face of the earth. You do one of those things and you're disgusting. You're abominable. Your beauty doesn't override the disgusting thing you're doing. Amen? So a Christian doesn't have an opt out. He can't do these things that we're going to read about here that God says are an abomination to him, that he hates and detests. They're disgusting. It's extreme hatred that he has for them. It's not just something that we see people do things. We see people say things, whatever. We see things out of other people that, abomination is too strong a word. We disapprove. We don't like it. It's annoying. It's a nuisance. That's one thing. But abomination, that's something else. If I would start asking you here tonight, how many of you know something in the Bible that's an abomination to God? The Bible says plainly. Somebody tell me one. I can't hear y'all.
A lying tongue.
Proud look. He hates all that. But where it specifically says abomination, well, cross-dressing's one of them, yeah. Sodomites. They're an abomination. Any kind of idolatry. People that turn away their ear from hearing God's word. Oh, God just loves everybody. He just has this soft heart and warm feelings for them. And that's not what the Bible says at all. Well, let's just read some of them. There are things that are abominable to us. Sexual sins are abominable to us, especially if it's someone we care about. There's things here that, we don't even mention. But all this child stuff now, that's not getting much press in the press, but I mean, it is happening. They're fighting against it and catching, great numbers. Where they've got all these little kids as slaves. And that's abominable.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
What does it make any person who's got any conscience, any kind of a reality in their soul, what does it make them want to do with those people who are doing that? Kill them right now. It's too good for them. They need to, I mean, you know, the Bible's full of it. So shalt thou put away evil from among you. There's, you can't coddle it and nurture it and have everything in the society set up to feed the fire of it and then complain because it's happening. That these things are abomination. The perversions of our day are abominable to everyone who has any conscience left. Who told me last night that California passed some law permitting pedophilia? Yeah. Not surprising out there. There used to be a saying that, you know, everybody thought one of these days California's going to fall off in the ocean. Well, it ain't happened yet. But just hold your horses. Patience, people. There's a God in heaven. And he will judge such evil. Adultery and fornication have become less abominable because of the brainwashing of our society. It's in all the songs. It's in all the movies. It's in all the TV shows, all the books. That's all they're about. So everybody thinks it's funny or entertaining. Or they love to watch them, just like Romans chapter 1 says. They take pleasure in them that do them. But it's an abomination to God. And it's an abomination to us if we've got our right mind about us. They're still detested, adultery and fornication are, by those who are hurt by it. Contaminated food is abominable to us. You find a hair or a bug or something real nasty in your food, that's it. And you ain't eating that. You don't just dip it out and throw it to the side. Now, I've seen people do that, but they're not normal when they do that. You can't stand it. It turns your stomach. It ruins it for you. You ever be real hungry and you got this real delicious food, your favorite thing, and you take a big bite, and the first bite you get a big hair or something in it. It just don't taste good after that, does it? It's abominable to us. You hate that. David, my son, David, he always gets the hair. Either him or me, more.
Yes.
Yep. Dishonesty is abominable to us, especially if we or someone we care about are the ones taken advantage of. Somebody cheats one of us, the rest of us ain't going to like it. It's an abomination to us. Cruelty is abominable to us. Again, especially if we're touched by it. Cruelty, just being cruel to people, to children, to animals, to one another. That's an abomination. You see, so you see that most of what is abominable to us is because it hurts us or costs us in some way. These things, the things we consider to be abominable, can become acceptable to us if they suit our selfish purposes some way, though. People who hate sexual immorality and others may become involved in it themselves if given the opportunity. People who hate dishonesty may cheat if they can stand to gain by it.
That's right.
In other words, people have a way of changing that which is abomination into something that is acceptable by rationalizing it in their minds. And that's just what they do in all of these things. All of them. There are things that are abominable to us. There are things that are abominable to God. And the more godly you are, more like God, the more like Christ you are, the more of the mind of Christ that's in you, the more you're going to be just like Him. The things that are abominable to God are going to be abominable to you. You're going to hate them. You're not going to love them. You're not going to justify them. You're not going to be a partaker of them. You're not going to just brush it aside and go ahead and do it. God doesn't change His mind about what's abominable. It's not changed since the beginning of the world. And even beyond that, because God's eternal, past and eternal future. God has never changed. It's always been, what's abominable to Him has always been and still is. Still is. You can't change it because, well, people were different back then. That's a different culture and everything was different. No, it wasn't different. People are people. They've always been the same through all the ages. They've had different clothes and customs and food and all of that, but it's the human nature is the exact same thing all the way through. He can't be talked into accepting things that are abominable to him because of some excuse we give him. And when we embrace or tolerate something that God says is an abomination to him, then we've positioned ourselves against God and put enmity between ourselves and God. You hear me? God says it's an abomination. You say, I don't care. I like it. I'm going to do it. I got a right to. Well, you're just fooling yourself if you think you're right with God. You put enmity between you and God. Sexual sins are an abomination to God. Homosexuality, Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Now, you can get a Queen James Bible all you want. You can change everything you want to. You can tear Romans out of the Bible. You can do whatever you want to. Sodomites,
yeah.
You're an abomination to God.
Right.
That'll never change. It never has changed. It's never been any day. God burned them to the ashes. Burned them, turned them to ashes in Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain. He drowned the world. And that was one of the major things. Had to be, because it's the bottom of the barrel. It's where you get to when you're so degenerate and you have made what God calls an abomination your habit of life.
That's right.
And what you live for. Leviticus 20, verse 13. If a man also lie with mankind, as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Bible. No wonder the Bible's hated. By a sodomite generation and a sodomite loving generation. If you sympathize, if you take up for them, you're as bad as them. You are an abomination to God if you defend what's an abomination to God. Prostitution. Deuteronomy 23, verse 18. Thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore or the price of a dog into the house of the Lord thy God. You know what a dog is? It's a sodomite. Mm-hmm. That's the word for male homosexual in the Bible. Or a male prostitute. Thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore or the price of a dog into the house of the Lord thy God for any vow. For even both these are abomination unto the Lord thy God. So a whore is an abomination to God. And she is to everybody else too. So why do we pay them to entertain us? Why do we buy their movies? Why do we buy their records? Why do we look at their pictures? It's an abomination to God. You see why you ought to come out from among them and be you separate? You see why that if you love the world, the love of the Father's not in you? See why if you're a friend of the world, you're no friend of God's? Because the world's full of abominable things and we embrace them. Deuteronomy 24, verses 1 through 4. Wife swapping. Do you know how it's in the Bible?
Sure.
When a man hath taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes, because he hath found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it into her hand and send her out of his house. Well, you women want it to be that way now? Hmm? And when she is departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife. And if the latter husband hate her and write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and sendeth her out of his house, or if the latter husband die, which took her to be his wife, y'all know where this is going? Her former husband, which sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife after that she is defiled. For that is an abomination before the Lord, and thou shalt not cause the land to sin which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. So, y'all get that?
Yeah.
Getting married, you're supposed to stay married.
Yes.
If you do get married and your husband puts you away, you can marry again. But when he puts you away, you can't go back and marry your husband again.
No.
Now that's what that said in Deuteronomy, in the law. It's confusion. And it's more than confusion, it's abomination.
Yes.
It's an abomination. All right? For that is abomination before the Lord. For a woman to go be with another man and then come back to her husband. Adultery. Ezekiel chapter 22 verse 11. And one hath committed abomination with his neighbor's wife, and another hath lewdly defiled his daughter-in-law, and another in thee hath humbled his sister, his father's daughter. Wow. You want to read some rough stuff, read Ezekiel. There's stuff in there that's just, it's hard to even read in public. Dishonesty, and I mean, that's adultery. It's an abomination. And one hath committed abomination with his neighbor's wife. And another, da-da-da-da-da. All that stuff's abominable.
Yes, sir.
Highly hated.
Yep.
Extremely hated. Defiling, polluting, dishonesty and taking advantage of others through deceit and cheating is an abomination to God. Cheaters, crooks, fast talkers. Deuteronomy 25, verse 13 through 16. Are you listening to what the Word of God says here? Thou shalt not have in thy bag divers weights, a great and a small. Thou shalt not have in thine house divers measures, a great and a small. But thou shalt have a perfect and just weight. A perfect and just measure shalt thou have, that thy days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. For all that do such things, and all that do unrighteously, are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. Wow, that's a strong word. Strongest word he can use. Strongest word in the Bible to express God's hatred for something. A cheater. Somebody's got the weights. It's talking about a scale and how you'd have like a pound over here, and so you would know what to put a pound. When you had a pound in here, it'd balance. We have two of them in your pocket. One's heavy and one's light. One weighs a pound and the other's lighter. So that it balances out with 3/4 of a pound, and yet they say they got a pound. You ever been done that way? Oh, I've been done that way. In Mexico, especially. God says that's an abomination. You're cheating. You're lying. You're stealing.
Yes, sir.
You're deceiving.
That's right.
God hates it. A false balance, Proverbs 11, verse 1, a false balance is abomination to the Lord. But a just weight is His delight. So see, it's repeated in the Bible that this thing right here is an abomination. When we sell lumber, we always give a little extra. Just to make sure that they can't come back and say, well, I bought this many and this is all I got out of them. No. Anything that you sell, you better make sure. Or that you buy. Don't go to somebody and just chisel them down to the as hard as you can go to get every dime out of them you can get. You know what they say about you after you leave? You know what they think about you for the rest of your life and their life? You know what they say to other people about you the rest of your life? You want that kind of reputation that God says is an abomination to Him? I'd rather give. Why would you not rather be defrauded than to have people knowing that about you, thinking that about you? Don't you care about your testimony? Don't you care about what people think about your God? See, it's important. Those who sacrifice their children to their gods are an abomination to God. And don't think that that's just Molech and burning your child at an altar. That ain't what that is. Well, it goes a lot farther than that. That's sacrificing your kids to this world. by laying them on the altar of this world and feeding them out of Hollywood and Disney and everything else. And you're sacrificing your child to the devil just as much as Molech.
That's right.
When they burned them up on the altar. You're sacrificing their soul, their mind, everything. So you're just way off out yonder. No, I'm not. I'm right on the money.
That's right. That's
right. And it's an abomination to God. Fortune telling, witchcraft, superstition, communicating with the dead are all abominations to God.
Yes,
listen to this, Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 10 through 12. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer, as people talk to the dead. For all that do these things, are you listening? Are an abomination to the Lord thy God. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. That's the kind of people that were inhabiting the land of Canaan. So that's some of them. Witches and wizards and that peeped. That's what another verse says. All these, you know, read card readers, crystal ball readers. We laugh at that stuff. God don't laugh at it.
No.
He hates it with an extreme hatred. And we play with it.
Yeah.
And we toy with the things and flirt with the things that God hates so badly.
Yeah.
And don't think anything of it. Oh, I just don't see nothing wrong with that. Witchcraft is sorcery. 500... 5,000, wait a minute, that's the number of the, that's the Strong's number. Hang on. Witchcraft is sorcery. It means the Greek word is pharmakeis. What does that sound like? It means spell-giving potion.
Yep.
A druggist, a pharmacist, or poisoner. That's the dictionary definition of it. Witchcraft.
Right.
Is pharmacy. It has to do with drugs.
Yes.
Yep.
Say, well, I'll take mine to get my drugs from the doctor. Pharmacist. A poisoner.
Yes.
You know what's wrong with most people nowadays? Medicine.
That's right.
That's right. Doctors are legalized drug dealers. That's what most of them practice. They don't practice medicine. You know, I've said over and over, they ought to just put vending machines out in front and let you just get what... But then they wouldn't get that office call and all that. $100 now or whatever it is. I don't even know. Yeah. But they always give you the same thing, don't they? I mean, I don't know how many times I've took care of the doctor. No matter what the problem is, you get antibiotics, you get, you might get blood pressure medicine. Or steroids, yeah. Fixes everything. They want to give you statin drugs, whether you've got high cholesterol or not, whether you got diabetes or not. It's to prevent it. But they don't tell you that it'll destroy your liver. That you have to be checked every 6 weeks to see how bad the shape your liver's in so they can take you off of it for a little bit if they need to. I ain't taking them. Now, you just mark my words. I ain't taking that poison. It was the most money-making drug they've ever come up with. And they just keep expanding the uses for it.
Yes.
Cholesterol. They're poisoners.
Yes.
It is an abomination to God. That's what we're talking about.
Yes. Right.
But most people think doctors are God.
Oh, yeah.
They're gods. And whatever they say, I'll do. I'll swallow whatever you tell me, whatever you give me. If I need a shot, put her in. Or put her in. Wherever, I'll take it anywhere.
Yeah.
The doctors know that. These people go to the doctor sick all the time. Every time they got a pain, they run to the doctor, and the doctor gets to know them, and they give them something. Man, and they know it ain't going to do them no good. But they got to have something, because if you give them something, they'll go home happy.
That's what they are.
He fixed me. And it's an abomination to God. Yes. Y'all getting that?
Yes.
Yes. Amen.
So Luke was a physician. He wasn't no drug dealer.
No, he wasn't.
There were drug dealers in town.
Okay.
Little pain won't hurt you, by the way.
That's right.
You can live with a little pain. You can live with a lot of pain.
Yep.
I ain't saying it's wrong to take anything. But I'm just saying if you got a dependence on a doctor to fix you every time you cough, you're just not thinking right.
That's right.
What is it about these pharmacists that is an abomination to God? Everybody does this stuff. It's an abomination to God. Well, what is it? It's a, what did it say? A spell-giving potion. Does the medicine help your mind or your body? You know, when we were in Mexico, you can buy medicine down there without a prescription or anything. So we'd always go to the pharmacy. Dad was taking Tagamet back then, and it was a prescription drug up here then. But I could buy it down there real cheap, and it's the same stuff. We could bring that out. We could bring antibiotics out. But you know what we couldn't bring out? Any kind of narcotic, any kind of mind-altering drug. Couldn't do that. But if they said it's just antibiotics, oh, sure.
Yeah.
Alters your mind. Now, antibiotics don't alter your mind, but it does for a lot of people.
Yes.
Because they think, oh, I got some medicine, I'll be okay now.
Alter your health.
Yeah.
I'm going to have some digestive problems for a few weeks, but... Okay, we'll move on. Perverted minds are an abomination to God. Proverbs 3, verse 32, for the froward is abomination to the Lord. Froward means crooked. I ain't saying forward, I'm saying froward. That's the word in the Bible. It means crooked, perverted, not straight.
Right.
Not like it ought to be. Somebody's put a twist on it. Froward, for the froward is an abomination unto the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. Proud looks, lying tongues, hands that shed innocent blood, hearts that devise wicked imaginations, those that cause trouble between brethren. These are all abominable things to God.
Yeah.
Proverbs 6, verse 16 through 19. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. First one, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. And heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. And he that soweth discord among brethren. Sounds to me like just pretty much all sin is abomination to God. The prayers of people who will not listen to the word of God. Their prayer is an abomination to God. Proverbs 28 verse 9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law. Even his prayer shall be abomination. So there you go. God said it. The Bible says it. I didn't say it. That's what the Bible says. But all you see on Facebook or anywhere else, all you hear about from people who live in continual, habitual sin, which is abomination to God. They pray. Boy, don't they pray. They want you to pray. They say pray for them. They'll tell you that they've been praying for you. Realize that. Their prayer is an abomination to God. They won't come to church. They won't read the Bible. They won't listen to nothing. And then they're going to pray? I don't have any confidence in their prayers. In fact, it's abominable to me. You going to pray for me? You're going to pray about what? Do you understand that because you refuse God, He refuses you? Don't you understand that when you talk to him, it is abomination? What does abomination mean?
He hates it.
Extreme hatred. But God loves everybody. Not that way.
Sure.
Not like that.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's like you're two-faced.
Yes.
Yeah. You like two-faced people?
No.
You like people that'll just love and sugar and all, everything sweet and nice and huggy-huggy and smiley-smiley, and then when they get 5 minutes later, when they get away from you, you're the dirtiest dog, and they're talking about you. And what do you think about people like that? They come up and say, "I'm your friend." What do you think?
Abomination.
Yes, it's abominable to you. God's the same way. You cuss His name and mock His holiness, and you live like a dog, and then you pray. It's abominable.
Yes, sir.
All right, here we go, cross-dressers. Strongest language used here than any other verses. Deuteronomy 22:5. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. Now, we don't believe that. What we believe is that if a man wears a dress, that's abomination. But if a woman wears pants, that's not. Because our society approves of it. So, well, who do we believe? Who do we honor? Who do we follow? The world or God? There it is right there. Plain as day. That's Old Testament. Don't make any difference. That's the moral law of God. It's talking about what's an abomination to God. Always has been, always will. But they wore robes back in. That makes no difference whatsoever. They had female clothes, they had male clothes. It's always been that way. You can go to a jungle where they run naked. And their attire will still identify male and female.
Yes, it's true.
You can see pictures of the Indians, the savage Indians that lived here.
Mm-hmm.
Did the women wear pants?
No.
Did the women wear loincloths?
Nope.
What did the women wear? They sure did. You can find it anywhere in the world. You go to any bathroom door, anywhere in the world, and what is the universal sign to tell you which bathroom's which? It's the different way that the men and the women are dressed. So when they dress alike, when they cross over, that is an abomination to God. Now you just need to understand that. That's the reason for it. It's not a doctrinal thing. It's not a certain group of Christians believe it and everybody else don't. That's the reason. God hates it when we mix it up. How does it make you feel when you see one of these drag queens? Well, it ain't like that. Yes, it is. When you see a drag queen all painted up and dressed up like a woman and you know it's a man. It is abomination. It's disgusting. You talking about these old westerns, they show all these women in their tight jeans back in the 1800s. What a lie!
Yes, sir.
It's true.
That would not have happened. No way.
No.
The saloon girls didn't even dress like that.
No.
Not in old westerns either.
No. It's just a plain moral issue.
Yes.
And don't y'all forget that. It ain't what your preacher believes. It ain't what our church believes. This is a moral issue. It's a deal that is abominable to God. It's a direct affront to God's order and His creation. And it doesn't matter what your opinion is or what your preference is. I've been at this for a long, long time. It's been about 40 years since it finally dawned upon me the truth of this matter right here. And I understood it. And all of the people, like the people that ordained me to preach the gospel, man, the pastor right here, wouldn't have ordained me if I'd have said, they asked me the straight up question, if we ordain you, will you allow your wife to wear pants under any circumstances? Well, the first time I said, yeah, and they wouldn't ordain me. And before it was all over, all of their wives were wearing breeches, shorts, everything else.
They sure were.
They compromised. They didn't know what they believed. They just followed, and that's what put a bad twang on it around this area. It was because they got on the radio and made such a stink and raised such a ruckus and used such rough language and insulting to the women about it, instead of just presenting the Bible truth and the Bible reason about it.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people rejected just because of the offense of the way they presented it to them. It's a direct affront to God's order. And it doesn't matter what opinions are. What did you say about opinion? Who said that this morning? Was that you, Gary? Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. Opinions have no place in God's people.
Yeah, that's true.
The truth is what matters. What the book says is what matters. How I feel about it?
Yeah.
My opinion? Opinions are just making yourself God, setting the rule for yourself.
Yeah.
It's another word for that describes what everybody's done. They have their own truth.
Yes.
And that might be wrong for you, but it's not wrong for me. Luke 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men. But God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. So, things that are highly esteemed among men are an abomination to God. You may be in with the majority, but you're not going to be with the majority if you're really godly and obeying God, walking with God, living according to His Word. You're not going to be in the majority. You're going to be in the minority, very much so. So Jesus said to these people, you are the ones who justify yourself before men. But God knows your hearts.
Yep.
And that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination to God. Well, that's just the way it is. People do this. It's like the dress we're talking about here. People do it because of what their friends would think.
Yeah.
They do it because they don't want to take the flack. They don't want to take the mocking. They don't want to take the ridicule and the insults from people. They want to just conform, so they'll leave them alone and they'll accept them. You're they. Jesus said to these people right here, what's highly esteemed among men, that's what they were doing. You justify yourself before men because what they think is what you want to please. He said, God knows your hearts. And you better rethink it, because what they are not going to matter. What's going to matter is God.
Yes.
And what you've done to please Him and how you live for Him and how you've obeyed Him. You didn't get your opinion from the Word of God if you're at odds with God about this. You may go ahead and cross-dress if you like, but you're making yourself, not what you're doing, but you're making yourself an abomination to God. All that do so are abomination to the Lord. All that do so. Women want equal rights, and they want to be equal footing with men, but when it comes to this, they don't. Most women don't want men to dress in dresses. If I'd wear a dress in here, like a mini dress, you guys would...
Or even a long one.
You'd go bananas. Or if I wore a long dress. If I come in here with earrings and a necklace and women's apparel. What if I wore a bra in here? What about that? Well, you got no right to judge me. I just like it. I like the way it feels. It's comfortable to me. See, that just don't fly at all, does it? Anywhere. But a woman can slide into a pair of jeans and put on her cowboy hat and her cowboy boots or a baseball cap.
Yep.
Leggings.
Yeah. Leggings. And if anybody says anything... See, what I am is an abomination to those people. I am an abomination to them because I'm saying this. I'm just telling you what God said.
Yep.
Yep.
Think anybody's going to listen? I ain't that dumb. I know people. I know how it is. People make up their minds, and either God's going to have to put the fear of God in you, you're going to have to realize where you're at in this, or you ain't going to pay no attention to me. You go ahead and cross dress if you like. Proverbs 15, verse 8. The sacrifice of the wicked. And you know, wait a minute. Let me just take another swing at it. How far are you going to go in compromising about that? You know? Back when we were young, culottes was the thing. Well, it wasn't long till them culottes looked just like pants. I've been a-watching a preacher's wife in this area. I used to kind of have a lot of respect for them because I never seen her wearing a pair of pants. Then I began to see her with these culottes. And when she walked, you could see, you know. Wasn't like that woman in the dress at the funeral the other day. Woo, mercy. It was like Jerry Clowers talked about. She moved her leg and it's come plumb up to there. And I said, whoa, I was in a church one time around here. And this woman went to sing. And as she went up the altar steps there, she put her leg up like that and it split plumb up to here. I mean, her bare leg. Yeah. Ain't that wonderful? Then get up there and sing with the Holy Spirit blessing. Bull. Yeah, bull.
Right.
I call bull.
Right.
I shouldn't do that. Well, I do.
Yep.
It's not real.
Right.
Where am I at? How far are you going to go in compromising?
Yep.
How near are you going to get without somebody, you know, where you're going to go just as far as you can where somebody can say, you got on a pair of breeches.
Yep.
Shorts. What about modesty?
Yeah.
That's another issue with this.
Yeah, it's a big
I see such vulgar things
in
advertisements. I see it in real life. I see people, women walking around. It's just purely vulgar.
Yes.
They leave nothing to the imagination.
Mm-hmm.
It's all on display. They're even making things now, and I won't even get into it. I told her the other day about it, but they're making things so that with the leggings you wear and everything, you can look even more naked.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Flesh colored.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
oh, Lordy.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
Yes.
I wish that women could understand. I wish you girls could get this through your head. That being naked is not what you want to do. I don't care if it is the whatever they call it for all the celebrities and everything. That's their mark they go by. They get as much out as they can and then they'll pose naked somewhere. You know, because that's their next level. That takes them up to the next level. No, it doesn't. It degrades you.
Mm-hmm.
It cheapens you. You lose any respect.
Yeah.
Well, I've got just a few more things here to mention. Huh? Proverbs 15, verse 8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight. So people that will not live right and they sacrifice to the Lord, it's an abomination. He hates it. He don't need your money. He don't need your stuff. He don't need you if that's the way you're going to live. If you can be described as a wicked person, God don't want you. He don't want your money. He don't want your sacrifices. He don't want your sympathy. He don't want you in His church if you're wicked. Now, there's a cure for that. You can get saved. Then you're not wicked anymore.
Yes.
If you really get saved, you're not wicked anymore.
Amen.
Then, I mean, what is the local church supposed to be made of?
Saints.
What's the qualification for membership in a local church, Baptist church? You got to be saved.
Yep.
And baptized. You have to bring forth fruits, you know, meat to prove your repentance, you know, meat for repentance. You got to look like you're saved. Well, how do we know? We're all sinners. Well, everybody used to know. You quit going to the bar. You quit running around half naked. You quit whoring around.
Yep.
You stop that stuff.
Yes, sir.
Well, it ain't the way it works nowadays, is it? Next verse, Proverbs 15, verse 9. The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord. His way, his prayer, his sacrifice is an abomination to the Lord. But he loveth him that followeth after righteousness. Verse 26 of that same chapter. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord. His thoughts, his prayers, his way, his sacrifices are an abomination to the Lord. Sound like the Lord don't want nothing from him.
Yes.
He don't want him trying to worship him or pretending to worship him while he's still continuing in the things that are abominable to God. Everyone that Proverbs 16 verse 5, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. That's a little tape measure you ought to always have in your pocket. Measure yourself with it once in a while. Pretty often. Proud in heart. Proverbs 17 verse 15, he that justifieth the wicked, and he that condemneth the just, even they both are abomination to the Lord. We got a lot of abomination in our country right now.
Yes, sir, we sure do.
Condemning the just and justifying the wicked.
Yeah.
You better be careful whose side you're on.
Right.
Better be careful who you take up for.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
Or you'll be abomination to God.
That's right.
You better defend the just. I don't care what the situation is. I don't care what it's going to cost you. You better stand for justice, righteousness, what's right. There's ugly situations in life, just like the one I told some of you about last week, about a letter I got about a mess in a family and such, you know, just... justice is justice. One person's testimony is not enough to condemn anybody for anything. Now that's God's word.
Yep.
I don't care if it is your kid. I don't care who it is. One person's word is not enough. There has to be two or three witnesses for any matter to be established.
Mm-hmm.
Evidence counts as a witness. Sure. There's got to be more proof than, he touched me. 16 years ago, he touched me. He abused me by touching me. You know, that won't fly. You justifying the wicked? No, I'm standing for what's right. You can't condemn the just. What if you're condemning the just? Huh? What about that? It's not good to take the word of the wicked against the righteous.
That's right.
The person's character means something also.
Yes, sir.
All that figures in the Word of God. This is where the law is all established. Even civil law has its basis here. God is the one who gave the law. God is the one who decides what's just and unjust. And so if you justify the wicked, or if you condemn the just, if you condemn the just, it's abomination to God.
Yes.
Either way. So you better be sober and pay attention. There's a solemn warning to those who choose to go ahead and do the things that are abomination to God. You want to hear it? Revelation 21, verse 27. And there shall in no wise enter into it the city, heaven, eternity with God. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Now, if you're a child of God with a home in heaven, then you'll be concerned about ridding your life of anything that's not pleasing to God. This makes sense to me. All sin is an abomination to God, very clearly. If you really want to go to heaven when you die, you're going to have more to base it upon than you just said a sinner's prayer one time. You've been baptized. Yeah. There's going to be evidence of you ridding your life of things that are abominable to God. You don't care about what offends God, how God feels about what He said about things. You're going to care. And you're not just going to say, care, you're going to do something about it.
Yep.
Certainly no child of God would deliberately keep a habit, a wardrobe, or a disposition in their heart that they know to be an abomination to God. It's all these things we mentioned are abomination to God. Say, well, I don't cheat people, and I don't lie to people, and I don't do this, and I don't do that. But what about some of the rest of it? Well, I would care if I was you. I'd get off of this thing and, well, ain't going to force me to do nothing. Ain't nobody going to force nobody to do nothing. Ain't no... I found out a long time ago, this is all a volunteer army. You're either in or out. I'm just telling you how it is. It ain't about pleasing me. It ain't about pleasing everybody else. It's about God.
Yes. That's right.
I've just told you what God said He hates. Now, if you don't hate what God hates, then there's something wrong in your soul.
Yes, sir.
Why don't you just get it right?
Amen.
Why don't you just say and vow to God, I'm done with that.
Yes.
I've done that. I've done that a bunch when I first got saved. I wanted to be clean.
Yes.
And I searched myself. I didn't fight for anything.
Right.
Yes. If He'd have wanted me to wear red sneakers, I'd have wore red sneakers.
Yes, that's right.
It wasn't no issue with me. I didn't care what people thought anymore. I only cared what God thought. And I wanted to please God. And I still do. I don't care what people think.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
About my hair, my glasses, what I wear, my shoes. I don't care what they think. Anna's talking about wearing old ladies' clothes this morning. You shouldn't care what people think. If it's modest and it's feminine.
Right.
Then you shouldn't care what people think.
Amen.
What does the world's fashion mean to a child of God?
Amen.
You will never lose by pleasing God with that kind of things. And not only that, by just everything else. Be honest. Give more than the measure. I remember down here at Emil's store when I was a kid. And I remember Ernest Cornihan cutting bologna back there at the meat thing. And I remember how they would do. They'd always weigh it up and then they'd just give you another slice or two.
That's what Otis always did.
Yeah. And that's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
What do people think about that? What do they think of you when you do that?
Well,
but what if he weighs up a pound and he just pulls one off and says, there's almost a pound, and then writes pound on it. That's close.
No,
you think, you dirty cheater, charging me for what I ain't getting. It's always better to give than to receive. It's always better to just give a little more. Why not do God that way too? Why? If he that doubteth is damned if he eat. What about that? If your heart condemns you, God's greater than your heart.
Yeah.
I mean, just why not give God the extra?
Yes.
If He says that's an abomination, why don't you just go beyond that a little bit instead of just trying to just step over the line and just push it as far as you can push it? Yeah. I want to be welcomed home with the words, well done. Thou good and faithful servant. Don't you?
Yes,
sir.
Amen, I do. Well, if there's things in your life, why don't you just fix them? I mean, it's between you and God. I can't make you. Why don't you just do it? I've sat in church before, and I didn't go to the front, didn't make a scene, didn't tell anybody, but I just resolved where I was sitting. That's over. Done with it. Won't you do that? Won't you just make up your mind? You'll find great peace when you quit wobbling. When you just make up your mind. People do it the other way too. I've seen them sit in church and make up their mind. I ain't doing this. I'm out.
Yeah.
Used to see a lot more people make up their mind saying, I'm in. I'm in. This is it. But we don't see it much anymore. Maybe because they're not pressed to do so. Maybe I don't press enough. Maybe I don't put you on the spot enough. But I'm telling you, You better consider these things. Jesus is coming soon.
Yes, he is.
And he that hath this hope in him purifieth himself.
Yes, sir. That's right. Yes, sir.
So he won't be ashamed before him at his coming.
He won't be ashamed. Amen.
Too much given, much will be required. I know a lot of people don't understand this at all. No preacher's ever told them. Nobody's ever explained it. They're in the dark about it. They're just doing it because everybody else is doing it, and they don't understand. I know that. But you understand. And you've been told. And the light's been shined right on you. So you're responsible for what you do with the truth. Amen. That goes for everything we've talked about here tonight, not just the cross-dressing. We had one of these boys that started in coming to church dressed like women, or if we'd see him out in public dressed like women. Would that cause an issue in the church?
Oh, yes, it should.
What have you seen him out there with makeup? And no. Oh, well. Abomination. How does a church turn out a whole generation and they're just riddled with sodomites? That's right. Say, boy, if you ever get out of here, you'll never have another. That's sorry me. I know. I've been doing this for 40-some years. I know how it is. My phone don't ring off the wall wanting people me to come preach. But if I put this on the radio, they'll listen to it. If I put it on the internet, they'll listen to it. And I've had them call me and say, boy, you're right about that. Somebody needs to preach that. Pastors of other churches. I preached on adultery one time, and Assembly of God preacher called me. They heard it on radio. He said, amen, brother. He said, boy, somebody needs to be preaching on that. I wanted to say, why don't you? Well, because it's costly. Everybody don't have the liberty to do that because they're too tied up. They've got them by the purse strings. And they'll just leave that to the Lord. Let the Lord deal with them about it. The Lord ain't going to deal with about it until the preacher takes the word of God and shows them. It's what it's always taken for me. I was as rebellious about that issue as anybody ever was. Until one night in church, I was just sitting there listening to the preacher. And he got on it a little bit, and I don't know what happened, but the Lord just showed me. Right there in that seat, I saw it. And I said, oh my goodness. And that was it. Nobody's ever had to convince me. I've never compromised about it. I don't see it any different. I can't see it any different from that time to this. It's the Word of God. It's God's way. Amen. All right. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the truths we've talked about here. Pray they'd be received as they're meant to be. Lord, help us all. There's so much lacking in all of our lives. And I don't want to be an abomination in your sight, Lord. I don't want to do things. I don't want to embrace or be friendly with that which you hate so badly. That's to call it an abomination. Pray you'd bless the word to our heart. Bless the food we're going to eat. Bless our time of fellowship here tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.